You know, world travelers that travel around, they go into different cultures, and they experience and they see how those in those cultures dress. Not everyone dresses the same. We all have different experiences, backgrounds. But I want to talk to you about common thread, question mark, coming before the King of the universe. It happens today. You know, one is called to a funeral, another is invited to present themselves at a wedding. People around the world are attending functions and appointments that they have to keep. One goes to a job interview, while another is a witness before a government's court. Each situation is different. But there is a common thread. That thread is the clothes that they wear. However, they are not common clothes, but rather uncommon. They dress with appropriate clothing, fitting for the occasion, the function, the activity, the appointment, which is kept. A proper attitude of heart and common courtesy, along with respect, is what causes us to wash ourselves and dress ourselves appropriately before we present ourselves in such situations. The question is, shouldn't we do the same when coming before a Heavenly Father during worship service? Not only are we coming before Him, we're also in the presence of the rest of the brethren who will, if overcoming to the end, be co-rulers with Yahshua, Messiah, in the coming kingdom, literally being a kingdom of priests, co-rulers with Yahshua the King. Now, there are some scriptural examples, and I don't want to step on any toes. I do want to emphasize more of the attitude that we have in coming before the Father. You know, coming from Hawaii, I recognize the different cultures. I grew up with Spanish, African-American, who bring over some of the attributes that they you know, cultures that we see in, there in Africa. Some of the dress is a lot more colorful and so on. You know, this is okay. We're coming before the throne of Yahweh with the best that we can. And as we come together, we're not coming together haphazardly. We're not coming together out of disrespect, but out of respect for our lives being granted to us from the shed blood of the Messiah, being allowed to breathe and have our life in Him through Yahweh's Spirit. And so it's pretty important that we think about these things, not just the spiritual all the time, but sometimes the physical. But again, it's tied up with the attitude which is spiritual, in the sense that we are to honor our Father with our whole being, everything inside, everything outside, what we do with our time, what we say, what we think. And so these things come together. But again, I've been around different cultures, been around Koreans. I see how some of the cultural things that they do actually may be a little bit offensive to Americans. I was behind in line at a shopping, going through the line, checking out a grocery store actually. But I felt a bump behind me. I'm like, what? And it turned out to be an elderly lady pushing her cart against me to get me to move. But that is common in Korea to do that. It's just in their culture. But they dress, you know, a little differently as well. And Samoans, Tongans, Hawaiians, Islanders, you know, I got rid of a lot of ties when I went over to Hawaii because it just wasn't the norm. But over here, it is more of the norm. And so, you know, whether we're in a different culture or this culture, it's, you know, we're coming before our Heavenly Father with the best that we can. And so that's kind of the main point, and I want to address that going through here. But there are examples from thousands of years ago in which we find are not antiquated or archaic, but serve as an example for future generations of, you know, the proper heart and attitude that we're to have. Take, for example, Joseph, Genesis 41:14, a Yahweh servant who is able to tell Pharaoh his dream by divine revelation. It says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. So just as men today will shave themselves, unless they have a beard, they may trim their beard going before. You know, I remember looking at the 1920s, you know, the cultures change even, just as clothing changes. And I remember back in the 1920s seeing some of the films that most everyone wore a hat. Didn't matter if it was, you know, adult going, you know, to work or you know, even a kid was wearing a hat, it seemed like. All the ladies wore hats. That was within the culture at that time. And, you know, sometimes I'm questioned about, well, why don't I have a beard? Israelites wear beards. Well, in the culture, they certainly did. And it looked odd if they had shaved themselves because they were able to grow full beards, typically. I've got some Indian in me, and so I don't have a very good-looking beard. I think I look better shaved, clean-shaven. But here's an example of Joseph going before the Pharaoh within that culture and being shaven. So it wasn't a sin issue. It was just a cultural issue. But the idea is the attitude was there for Joseph, who was a man of Elohim. I mean, he wasn't wanting to sin. He had the opportunity to sin with his master's wife. He refused. He said he wouldn't sin against Yahweh in such a thing. And so, you know, another example might be the priest of Elohim, who did not dress any way they desired, but followed very specific protocol and dress code. Moses was told in Exodus 28, verse 2, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty." They were even instructed at times to wear sackcloth and ashes because of certain things that were going on. And we read of the two witnesses, and Jonah, and you know, the culture back that time, the Assyrians at Nineveh, they put sackcloth and ashes on. So there's appropriate clothing, appropriate times for certain things. We read of John the Baptist going out with camel's hair. Well, that was a rugged outfit for him, and he ate nothing but, you know, locust and honey. That was his staple of food at that time. And of course, we read of the two witnesses. They're going to be clothed in sackcloth and ashes yet ahead of us. So there's different ways of considering the times and the, you know, what was going on for the, you know, and what's appropriate for different times. I mean, if I go out to the garden, I'm not going to wear this. But in coming before the Almighty and before co-heirs with each other, then we're going to, and with Yahweh, Yahshua, ultimately, then, you know, I'm going to go ahead and wear my best. This wasn't that expensive. I mean, I found this at a discount, 90% off, so it wasn't much to get it. But in this culture, you know, this is appropriate wear for the, you know, being able to go to a wedding, go to a funeral. And if we are willing to do this for a funeral, and yet we come before the Almighty wearing something more casual, when we have already shown ourselves to be respectful of, you know, even a dead person, or going to a wedding, you know, being an appropriate attire for the wedding, but yet we don't come here and wear appropriate clothing, are we not giving more honor to men than to Yahweh? I mean, we have to think about these things, and I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm just asking us to consider our attitude as we come before the throne of Yahweh. And I start out oftentimes saying we're here to worship the Father and to, you know, honor Him in spirit and in truth. And I do that as a reminder for us of why we're here and what we're doing. You know, we're giving honor and respect to the King of Kings. In Exodus 28:2, just reading that again, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." And also further along in verse 28, did the same thing for Aaron's sons, who were to be servants of the Most High. It should be noted that we too are striving to be qualified as priests. Revelation 5:9-10. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open up the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to Elohim by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and peoples and nations, and hast made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to wear white robes and, you know, make a show out of everything, but we are to wear the appropriate attire for the cultural setting that we're in. In Yahshua's time, one could be seen wearing something similar to what we would consider a robe today, and even today in other cultures, such as Arab countries, robes are pretty common and is considered best dress. Scholars believe Yahshua wore a respectful garment. He was evidently wearing acceptable clothes within his culture, hence the reason the Roman soldiers desired the clothing and cast lots, saying, "Let us not tear it." It was a seamless garment that he had. But what is our example when going before others? Does our outward appearance show our inward heart? Can we be physically unclean and yet be spiritually clean? Depending on the circumstances, the answer is yes and no. The children of Israel were told to wash their clothing after being sanctified, Exodus 19, verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. It was Yahweh that commanded this in verse 10. Yahweh told the priests and the people of old, and tells us today in Leviticus 10 and verse 10, you must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. And certainly there are days to work in the garden and to play in the neighborhood baseball game, but those are separate times. They're separate than from going before the Heavenly Father. Another separate situation would be going to a job interview, for example. But are we going to go to a job interview looking like we just came from working in the garden? I don't think we would do that unless, you know, it's a ditch digging job, you know, then maybe that's appropriate. But we would wash our teeth, we would groom ourselves, not to mention taking a shower and being careful to pick out what we would wear. Or would we hold a spirit of rebellion? You may have not thought about this, and I'm not going to get into this today, but we have a study on tassels, a quick study sheet. We have a study on women's head coverings, and we have other studies that are more in depth than these. I just grabbed these because they're over there readily available. But one of the times in which there was rebellion was Korah's rebellion. Do you know why that rebellion was? That rebellion was because they didn't wear what Yahweh wanted them to wear. I mean, you can look at the account and see there, but it was actually tzitzits. But the tzitzits were for the purpose of them to obey the commandments, because they weren't being obedient as they should have. They didn't have the spirit yet. They needed something to look at to remind them. But Korah, well, he didn't like that. His family didn't like that. Well, what was the end result? The ground opened up, took them, because they were disobedient to the Father. And so there's an attitude that's involved here. There's a lack of respect, and there is respect. It's one or the two that we have. And again, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but I'm just saying that we should be coherent and you know, remember why we are here. You know, being proud of one's individuality, you know, can be, in a sense, self-aggrandizement. There is a funeral that was recently held for an individual that died about 20 years ago. Well, they were scanning the room, and this individual, who was evidently gay, looked like, I don't know what, I should have took a picture and brought it here to show you, but the hair was like in a mohawk going all the way up, face paint, flamboyant clothes. And when you see some of the leaders, some of the teachers of the Word of Yahweh in some of the churches today, you wonder if they aren't ready to go to a costume ball, because they've got all this ordination all over them. Well, there's certain things that Yahweh has required in the past, and there's still things that Yahweh requires today. You know, we show our crookedness if we try to go outside I think, the norms of society like that. It shows a crookedness in the mind as well as the heart. So again, it still gets back with the matter of the heart. But many times we must purchase appropriate clothing to get the new job we desire. It doesn't have to be expensive, just appropriate and clean. Many new or nearly new clothes can be purchased at a used clothing store. Yahweh certainly provides for our needs. You may remember that Yahweh didn't even let the clothes of the Israelites wear out so that they would not be in need. So he'll provide for us too, but not necessarily in such a miraculous way. Though a lot of these coats that I have today, I got for like 90% off at a store that happened to have them. So that was kind of a miracle for me because I wasn't wanting to pay, nor did I really have the money to pay for what they were asking in the original cost. But my wife and I go to Goodwill, and I'm not, wealthy, this country considers wealthy. A lot of people want to come here to try to get wealthy, and they find themselves pierced with a lot of different problems because of that. And the Word tells us that if we pursue that, we can run into troubles as well. So I don't really worry about the finances anymore. Because I've kind of been there wanting to get those, six-figure numbers, and I ran into a lot of problems, so I've experienced some of that in my own life. But wearing appropriate clothing, if you're a lady, may require a dress. A brother in the faith may require a tie, dress shirt, slacks. But there are also slacks that are made for women, which are appropriate in many cases. But they're made for women. It's not like, you're trying to look like a man. You're getting, clothing that's made for women. And again, clothing changes over the years. Yahweh's commandments don't change, but the clothing does. So, depending on the culture, and it's kind of like looking at the marriages that we see around the world. There are different ways of becoming married. Kind of like going back to Joseph. Joseph still recognized his master, even though as a different culture, as being honored by Yahweh as a marriage between a man and a woman. So there is certain things that we have to consider. But maybe a job is at a hotel, a restaurant, just a local furniture store, whatever the case may be, you'll not want to go as if you're applying to dig a ditch or construction or be on a construction crew. And even with a job interview like that, you'll most likely want to wear at least a dress shirt and some good pants, not something with holes from wear and tear. Because you're showing something to the employer that you are serious about wanting the job at hand. I remember an individual who knew that the company that he was wanting to work for, he was an accountant, and he wanted to get the job. And he knew they were a conservative company, so he went ahead and got a brown suit specifically that was low-keyed, not anything flashy, wore kind of a plain tie. But he got the job, and that was probably one reason that he got it, just as looking for work goes, knowing what an employer will look for. Employers don't necessarily want to hire someone that's going to be kind of sloppy and not they kind of look at that as, well, if he's that way now, he probably would be that way here, and maybe don't need someone like that here. The employer's minds will think along those lines at times. But Matthew 3 and through 4 says, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying that voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his path straight. At the same time, John had his raiment of camel's hair, leather girdle around his loins, and his meat with locust and honey. And I give this as an example because, as mentioned before, he was out in the wilderness, and this was appropriate for him at that time. He didn't need to dress up. He didn't need to be with everyone else. He was by himself, and this was good wear for him at the time. And of course, the example of the two witnesses yet ahead of us, wearing sackcloth and ashes. There's going to be a time yet ahead of us through the tribulation, which we're probably not going to be able to wear as good a clothing as we are now coming before Yahweh. Maybe sackcloth and ashes for all of us. You know, there is some evidence that the witnesses that are being spoken of are actually Yahweh's people, not just two individuals. It doesn't actually say two individuals. It just says two witnesses. But if you look at that and you look at all of Israel, two is a common thread among all of them. Or maybe I should say an uncommon thread from society. Meeting Yahweh and Yahshua. Well, what is considered best dress in today's culture? We wouldn't wear shorts and a tank top to meet the president. And if we're invited to a formal wedding, we wouldn't, you know, leave our best at home and, you know, come in stuff we would play a baseball game with. But here's an image of a church meeting with lots of entertainment going on and some showing up as they are, some wearing, you know, cowboy hats. It is Texas after all. And others coming in their regular clothing that they would wear almost anywhere. After all, they are told, come as you are. So the people say, the Heavenly Father accepts us as we are. This translates into how we live our lives. So they say, well, you know, I've been forgiven my sins, past, present, and the sins I'm going to commit after I leave here. That's the attitude, and that's a wrong attitude. And it's becoming more prevalent. And one of the reasons I wanted to present this message is we don't need this coming into here. Because we are wanting to worship in spirit and in truth, and the attitude has to be right. And we need to be respectful of this day. In this time, you know, Yahweh tells his people, you know, I'm holy, therefore you be holy. The Sabbath is holy, so therefore keep the Sabbath holy. We're not to do our own will, and there's areas that we could look at concerning that. And so thinking about Korah's rebellion, thinking about rebellion in general, and people wanting to do their own thing. We're seeing it today. Is Yahweh pleased with such things? They disregard his Sabbath. They disregard his other laws. What will therein be? It'll be punishment. And Yahweh says the wrath is coming upon the children of disobedience. And even in the word, you know, Yahweh says, well, are you going to do all these things and then come before me and say you're saved? I forget the exact passage. I'll have to look that up later, but you can look it up yourself. I mean, this is serious. This is life and death we're talking about. Coming here and worshiping and doing the things not only here, but in our lives, being a good example to our neighbors, being help where we can, doing those things. But first and foremost, there's this headship. There's Yahweh at the very top. And so, you know, with all of our being and our might and strength, you know, we're to serve him. And we're doing this through the Master. And, of course, the Master is head of us. We are to grow in grace and knowledge, changing our lives, becoming like the Messiah who never sinned. Let's think about attending Sabbath services here. In fact, let's consider going before the groom, since we are symbolically and literally to be the bride. Has not the bride prepared herself? Revelation 19, verse 7. Let's look into Matthew 22. We looked at this a couple weeks ago, but it's worth reviewing. Matthew 22. In fact, I'm going to just read out of the King James. I have the New American Standard here. But the Matthew chapter 22 and verses 10 through 13. So Matthew 22. In verses 10 through 13. Speaking of the parable of the wedding feast, those servants went out in the highways, gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said to the king of the servants, bind him hand and foot. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, really, when we get into this, we're looking at, covering from the Messiah. But we can think about, in general, what would we wear to a wedding? What would we wear to a funeral? And if we're going to be respectful in those situations, should we not be respectful even more so coming before the Almighty, looking for that wedding that's yet ahead of us when the Master comes, the bride has prepared herself, it says. But we find a principle of application, both physical and spiritual, and we certainly must put on the Messiah. Galatians 3:25, for all of you who were baptized into Messiah have clothed yourselves with Messiah. And even though we may be called, we may not be chosen. Verse 14, because we read, many are called, but few are chosen. So we're to do our utmost, making sure that, like the Apostle Paul, doing all that he could, making sure that he was doing things right, so that, in the end, he wouldn't be disqualified. But the overall thought is that we need to do what is right to be accepted. But this is just but one example that the Bible gives us. And if you know you're going before the King of the universe and are going before the very throne of Yahweh along with the bride at your side, would it be a small matter? Could you choose the way you'd like to worship before Yahweh with Yahshua at his side and think it doesn't matter? If we take so much thought and action going to an interview for a better job, what kind of action should we take before coming to services on a commanded Sabbath day? Something that was set apart from creation by the Father. Certainly we should meditate and examine ourselves. If you would, open up your Bibles to James 2, and we'll go starting in verse 1 through verse 5. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. But we are to be aware of our attitude and how we are to love one another as Yahweh and Yahshua loved us. In James chapter 2 and verse 1, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Master, Yahshua the Messiah, with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over here or sit down at my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not Elohim choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those that loved him? So this kind of goes back to the idea of the promises to Abraham, but ultimately in Messiah we have all these promises presented to us and even eternal life. But we're not to look down on physically poor brethren, but recognize them as co-heirs having the same promises. And we shouldn't try to be all chummy with someone who is rich, treating them differently, thinking we might have something to gain from them. And that would be evil motives, as James talks about. And as Yahshua said in John 7:24, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. And it's not just about clothing, it's about everything in life. We're to discern appropriately. And sometimes we get a paradigm shift because we don't know the background of a certain situation and we're making a judgment call about something that we really shouldn't be making a judgment call on because we haven't heard the whole matter. We don't know what has happened. And, this is a good reason why we're not, in Yahshua's position to judge. I mean, he knows what we've all gone through. He knows our backgrounds. He knows how we've been raised up. I can't look at any of you and know your background unless you tell me a little bit, but then that doesn't even tell me all that Yahshua would know. And so he's the perfect judge to be able to make discernment and to judge. So we're not to judge one another in that, in a negative sense. We're to discern situations, and we have protocol for handling different situations within the body. but we're to be united in the same thought and mind and, you know, actions as we find in the Savior. That should be apparent among us. There's a book written about a former church I was in. The author made an interesting note. He said, you know, these people, you know, they seem to be poor. And he made some other comments, like the individual that was one of the main leaders of the group was called an apostle by some of the members. I never did that, but he was looked upon as maybe more than he should have been. But the idea of looking at the membership and pointing out that they were poor was a bad judgment on his part because of what it says here, that Elohim chose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. The end of James 2 and verse 5 there. Also in, we have here 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our master Yahshua Messiah, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Do we understand what's being said here? I mean, Yahshua was a sojourner on this earth, as we are, but he didn't even have a place to lay his head. So he's like the foxes, you know, living in holes. That's how he compared himself. He gave that example. Well, he came to die for us, so, you know, it's another reason not to be judging one another. So this isn't about, you know, hey, let's all get conformed in an exact mold here necessarily, or to you know, try to outdo one another in our apparel. It's not that at all. We're to be modestly dressed in our you know, clothing. We all have to wear clothing. I mean, we're not going to run around in our birthday suit. At least I'm not going to. They allow that at some beaches, I understand. That's kind of weird, but you know, people are going to choose to do what they want to do because they have no sense of right and wrong as we do with the word. And so, though there's no commandment telling me I need to wear a suit, in fact, they didn't exist back thousands of years ago. You know, we, and women wearing dresses or you know, appropriate slacks and apparel, you know, the thing that's pointed out is being modest, and we'll take a look at that. But, you know, we have the richness of Messiah and the promises of both now and to come within us, making us rich. This, however, comes with a warning. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, whether ye not your own selves, how Yahshua Messiah is in you, except you be reprobates. Well, reprobates from Strong's 96 is adokimos, rather, and the sense of the word is to be phony or a bogus individual. The complete word study dictionary says unapproved, unworthy, spurious, worthless, with the idea of being disapproved, rejected, or cast away. It's the same word that's used to describe what Paul was saying concerning how he disciplined himself, otherwise he might be disqualified. It's the same word, adokimos. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says in the New American Standard, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that afterward, after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Our lives are to reflect the light of the Messiah in action and in deed and respect for our Heavenly Father. You know, even Yahshua took the position of, why do you call me good? No one's good but the Father. So he really humbled himself, and we're to humble ourselves before the Father as well. But we understand that Yahshua overcame this world, and we have encouragement concerning that. And because he's done that, you know, we see how he was treated. He was given more. He's now given the authority to go ahead and judge. I don't think he had that before, did he? I think he's been given more now that he's proven himself to do, to fully overcome to the end as an example for us. And so, interesting. So he emptied himself to serve us, but he also was rewarded. So as we love one another, as we empty out ourselves for one another, there's a reward for us as well. Because we're not called to be served, we're called to serve. But the end result is that we will be served. Interesting. I mean, it's not a conflict, it's just, you know, Yahshua himself says he's going to go ahead and serve the body at the wedding. So, at the wedding feast, I should say. And he even gave that example during the Passover. But as ambassadors for the coming kingdom, we should strive to set an example in both conduct and action. Part of that's being service-oriented. Part of it's being humble. Part of it's having a right attitude. And these things are expressed outwardly. Because we can't hide the light. The light is going to put away the darkness, and that's what we want. We don't want the things that are happening out in churchianity to come in here. And I remember my brother-in-law telling me he found a church over in his area, and he's all excited because they let people just wear shorts so that you can come as you are. But it's the same type of attitude. Come as you are. You're accepted as you are. You don't have to change. Just accept the blood of Messiah, and that's fine. You don't have to worry about doing anything else. But that's the wrong kind of attitude. It's the wrong kind of way to be. Ephesians 5:8. For we were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Master. Walk as children of the light. In all things we are to set the right example, both physically and spiritually. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with decency and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And we see how the world dresses itself up, sometimes really fanciful, sometimes very crooked looking, as we see today. But that's part of the sickness that is occurring. People, in fact, I was watching something. I mean, they were ultra rich. They're talking about this $1.6 billion lottery. They're talking about how, you know, the richest people, they seem to still want more riches. There's never enough. The greed, the love of money. In fact, one of them said that he loved money. Well, what does the Bible say? The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. So we have to see what's going on in the world and see what Yahweh's word says and separate ourselves from the world. Not being like the world, but being separate from the world and being a light to the world as well. But in this passage, 1 Timothy 2:9, the latter is to have emphasis. The intent of our heart must not be to show off as the Pharisees did or with evil inclinations as they had, but rather to show ourselves as a respectful people, as ambassadors of the coming kingdom that will soon rule this dying world. How do ambassadors dress? Well, the Apostle Paul explained that we are to be a people without stain or wrinkle or any blemish. Now, he's thinking spiritual, but I think it can apply physically as well when we take a look at ambassadors going to other countries, representing this country or another country, coming over here, representing their country, their dress and the best that they have, because they're representatives of that kingdom, of that country, of their state, of their homeland. We're sojourning in such a way that we are representing the coming kingdom as ambassadors for Yahweh and Yahshua, who's going to rule in that kingdom. He's our king now, even now. So we should express our lives in such a way that it gives honor to this, to them and to the, you know, the idea of what the kingdom will be like. We should be living that kingdom life now. Ephesians 5:26-27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it speaking of the body of Messiah, the ecclesia, the called out ones, with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, we clean and iron not only the physical wrinkles and stains out of our clothes, but also the spiritual lives. We wash and straighten ourselves out to be in line with the word of Yahweh. And ultimately, this is done through Yahweh's Spirit motivating us, helping us. And we look forward to being dressed in white, symbolizing righteousness. Revelation 3, 4 through 5, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Revelation 19 and verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And right now we strive to do the right things. We wear clean and appropriate clothes in his presence, not torn, wrinkled, or stained apparel. And this applies both physically and spiritually. What kind of light are we to those who might visit the Sabbath services here if we can't even come together wearing appropriate attire that's clean and well-fitted? Yahweh's people are to set the example both in word and action. These things should express and say that Yahweh is to be respected. Anyone that comes here, they should see a people who are respecting the Father. Whether they think that we're poor or whatever, they should be still seeing the right attitude within our hearts in how we present ourselves before the Father. When his people come before him, it is a special time and not a regular day or time. It is a gathering of the saints before the Most High. Even the angels who are said to be lower than man, Psalm 8, verses 4 through 5, are said at times to, have shown themselves at times to be dressed in clean white clothing when they are seen by men. How will we go before Yahweh in the presence of other brethren who come to do the same? Will those on the outside looking in see a clean and respectful people going before Yahweh? And more importantly, will Yahweh see the heart of a people that is obedient and in reverence to him? Or will Yahweh see the heart of a people who is desiring to worship any way that they want, because it's more comfortable their way? And we saw in the image earlier, they're wanting to worship the way they want to worship. Come as you are. Well, we're to get our lives cleaned up and to come and respect and honor the Father, and to worship him in his spirit and in his truth. Certainly the latter inward heart is more important than the outside appearance. However, as an analogy, we might consider what Yahshua told the Pharisees about their perfection of tithing. While being exact as to how they did that, they neglected the weightier matters of the law by the lack of justice, mercy, and faith in their lives. Matthew 23:23. But he said plainly to them, these things should have been done without neglecting the other. In Matthew 23, verse 27 through 28, says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwards, but are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so, you also appear outwardly righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And so we have a warning. We have a warning as well. Clothing and things on the outside that appear righteous are worthless if the inside isn't clean as well. And so no matter what our background, we can improve. Luke 10, verses 25 through 28. And this is certainly an image of improvement. Luke 10, 25 through 28. And see, a certain one learned in the Torah stood up, trying him and saying to Yahshua, teacher, what shall I do to inherit everlasting life? And he said to him, what has been written in the Torah? How do you read it? And he answered and said, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all of your heart, with all of your being, And you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all and with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you shall live. So wearing our best dress, as this image shows, and being ready when we come together to worship in the presence of the King of the universe, what better time to have our hearts and our minds ready for every good work? And again, this isn't just about the outside, it's about the inward attitude. But are we not a special people? And is he not our mighty one? Shall we come before Yahweh with common thread? If indeed that is all we have, then by all means. But we are to work on bettering ourselves. And if there is a need, it will be met, as Yahweh and his son Yahshua care for us, and they take care of us. And they, you know, it was described, even the fields, they were ordained and they were presented with the beauty that was better than that of Solomon. And Solomon was rich beyond comparison to most of us. And Yahshua said that not even he was dressed as well as the fields with flowers. So we're looking for a time in which ultimately we'll be changed to spirit beings. And we've described this before, that the process that we go through is like a caterpillar, and then it goes through a metamorphosis, and then ultimately that caterpillar is crawling on the ground and the dirt, maybe up a tree, eventually is able to fly and is beautiful compared to what he had looked like before. And so we're looking towards that end as well. But in the meantime, we come before Yahweh and with the right attitude, doing the best that we can, and trust that he'll bless us as we strive to worship him. And that, you know, I guess if we have a main point here, it's to honor the Father. It's to do like what Yahshua said. Why do you call me good? You know, Yahweh is good. Let's honor him through the Messiah, and at the same time, we honor the Son. Hallelujah.